540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Cammy McCormick. An explanation from the Biden administration on the chaotic exit from Afghanistan. Classified reports from the Pentagon and State Department heading to Congress, and an unclassified version for reporters. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
A 12-page summary of the administration's views of the Afghanistan pullout accuses the previous commander-in-chief of, quote, severely constraining President Biden.
He came in with a certain set of circumstances he had no ability to change.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby points to Donald Trump's agreement with the Taliban setting a 2021 withdrawal date. Kirby says Mr. Biden did receive intelligence and advice that proved faulty, but he signals no heads will roll.
This effort isn't about accountability today. It's about understanding.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
In Tennessee, the Republican-controlled House has voted to oust one of three Democratic lawmakers for calling for gun control. Here's correspondent Tom Foti.
Nashville State Representative Justin Jones was the first to be expelled from the Tennessee House in a procedure rarely used since the Civil War.
A state in which the Ku Klux Klan was founded is now attempting another power grab by silencing the two youngest black representatives and one of the only Democratic women in this body.
The GOP supermajority state house then moved on to votes on expelling the two other Democratic lawmakers who loudly supported gun safety advocates in the legislative gallery days after six people, including three children, were fatally shot at the Covenant School in Nashville.
Well, the Supreme Court is allowing a 12-year-old transgender girl in West Virginia to continue competing on her school's girls' sports team while a lawsuit over a state ban continues. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This is the first time this issue has come before the Supreme Court, although the conflict is very much on the public's mind. What makes this case unique is that the middle school transgender athlete consistently finishes near the bottom of every race she enters. In other cases, the physical advantages of being born a male placed female athletes at a competitive disadvantage.
The Pope was out and about today, 5 days after leaving the hospital for bronchitis. He carried through with his Holy Week duties, as Seth Doan reports.
This afternoon, we saw him washing the feet of juvenile delinquents, which is something we've seen him do in the past. So he is back, keeping a very full schedule, as we've seen this Pope, despite mobility issues in the last years.
Mortgage rates have dipped again for the fourth straight week, and on Wall Street, the Dow finished slightly higher today, up less than 3 points. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane McNair. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers signed a Republican-backed bill into law on Wednesday that makes it harder for defendants to get out of jail on bail. The constitutional amendment was passed into law by two-thirds of voters during the statewide election on Tuesday. The bill the governor signed defines serious harm and violent crime for use with the amendment. Judges can now set stricter release conditions for any defendant they believe could physically or emotionally harm someone or inflict damages of more than $2,500 while out on release. The Joint Finance Committee heard from dozens of educators during a Wednesday listening session at the Waukesha County Expo Center, many asking that they protect money for education in the next biannual budget. When the governor released his budget earlier this year, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called it, quote, devoid of reality, unquote. I'm Jane McNair. This is Civic Media News.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
For the arts at 1106 Main Street, more at 30bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Well, you know, this is my favorite time of the year, Wendy, and I don't know why I just came up with that accent, but this is my favorite time of the year, and what time is that?
Because the snow is melting?
It's baseball season.
Oh, baseball season.
Yes, close. We don't need, you know, old days of the Dome, we didn't care if it was snowing out because we had the Dome and we hated that stadium. But
that's right.
That's another story. But hey, what do we got going here? Why am I so excited other than baseball?
Our store, yes, called Native Roots Trading Post, will be at the Creator's Corner at Target Field in Minneapolis, and that's exactly where the Minnesota Twins play.
Yeah,
we're going to be there for 3 months during the baseball season.
80 games.
Wonderful.
Make the playoffs, will be maybe some more. Oh,
that would be wonderful. Gate 34. We have lots of great Native American art and supplies there that you could come on down and see. We have some Leech Lake wild rice that was hand harvested.
Oh.
We have Joseph Ryder. He's an artist who makes beautiful sterling silver,
yes,
jewelry. We have his earrings. They're really spectacular. You should come down and take a look at them. Artist Heck.
Yeah,
Ivan Heck. He makes beautiful art
paint
on canvas.
Yes.
And we have prints and a large canvas.
Canvas
art.
Yeah, a painting.
Painting. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, this is a live show, but
I know.
We can't
we
start
Wendy,
over, Wendy.
Wendy Roy, beaded jewelry. She even made necklaces that have baseballs on them. And we have posters and cards by artist David White.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So we have all beautiful art and supplies there. So come on down and take a look. Gate 34.
You know, it's funny how small our Native community is, because I know Zoe through Zoe's father, and Zoe works with us now. And her father really helped us put together that store with all the artists that he knows, Zoe. And I know you're deep in the art, and you're going to be a B resale coming up too, I saw.
Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that, Robert. My sister and I will be doing a pop-up show at Be Resale, which is on, I just know it as Eat Street. I would have to find the address really quick. But that'll be on Saturday from 12 to 5 p.m. So if you're interested in coming to see us and our earrings, we do beaded earrings. My sister also makes earrings out of birch bark, and she does quilt work too. She won't have any quilt work this time, but we'll have some mirror earrings and some other fun stuff, and maybe even some t-shirts. It's gonna
be a
good
Nicollet
time.
Avenue.
Yes,
yeah.
It's Nicollet. Yes, it's 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis.
It's next to one of our favorite donut shops too, Wendy.
Yes, it is. Glam Doll Donuts.
Yeah,
yes.
We get the vegan donuts there. And my mom, well, I think we got a couple in the freezer I'm going to have during break here.
Ooh, that's a good idea. We can just pop them in the microwave and heat them up, and they'll be as good as new.
Yes, and Be Resale, I think we used to have our hoodies and T-shirts we sold out of there, and it's just a great idea. She recycles and reuses and repurposes
Clothing. So they don't end up in the landfill, and it's really nice stuff. So it's Be Like Boy, Be Resale.
Wendy, you're on it today.
I'm not really. Did you hear me before?
Well, you know, and I'm excited too, because the proceeds, it's keeping, you know, our whole thing is to get Native artists out there and mainstream them, and this is, you know, from being in the Dayton store now, and then we were at the state fair, and that's when we got to first meet Zoe. She was spying on us, and then
at various powwows.
Yes. and now we'll be at Shakopee's powwows, state fair, and hopefully back to Dayton's. That was
amazing. And the good thing is that, Robert, when people come up, we can tell them who the artist is, where the merchandise came from.
Exactly.
These things,
no appropriation here.
Yeah, these the earrings, the art that we have, the paintings, the cards, the posters were all made by Native American artists. And their heart and soul went into this art. And it's,
well, for each beading, am I right, Zoe? There's a prayer for each, I've heard that term, where each bead is a prayer.
Oh, in a beaded piece?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely received some of those teachings as well. And I was always told that, you know, if you're doing beadwork, just make sure you're in a good spirit, because you are putting your energy into those beads. But I also think that beadwork can be really helpful when you're not doing great. Definitely helps me mentally. So yeah, our beads are very, very sacred, very special. That's why it's really important that you buy from actual Native artists and not pretendians or appropriators, which, same thing sometimes.
You know, just to change gears here in a few minutes here, Zoe, Ogama yesterday spoke about what's going on with Honor the Earth, and we want to acknowledge that. We don't support organizations like that, Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's a big moment right now. It's really important that people are very clear with, you know, supporting survivor victims and any child that's, you know, hurt by an adult that they should feel like they should trust, you know. That's really getting into the thick of things, but regardless of the point, that's, I think it's important that we talk about it, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and I appreciate you. We, during our meetings and conversations, we've kept an eye on this big time, because as everyone knows, we've had Winona LaDuke on, and we've had Honor the Earth on, and this came up to us as a big surprise what was going on, and we do not support that. We support the victims, and that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Victims, whether human or animal.
Exactly, and that's a really good point, Wendy, because you do the sacred animal, our relatives portion when you're on, and how important that is, that we're all beings, and there's, not to get deep into it today, but there was shenanigans going up there from people that were working for Honor the Earth that did not bode well for our relatives that are with hooves and tails.
Mm-hmm. Hooves and tails specifically.
Exactly. So it's a great time in our way, but we need to support and reach out and really support the victims and, you know, and leave it at that, you know. Mm-hmm. No rationalizing, no
making excuses.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can't do that.
So it's really an important time, and it's an important subject, and I'm glad yesterday Ogama brought it up, and today we're talking a little bit about it because it is very important, Zoe.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very important.
Well, today, you know, this is a fun Thursday, and we have Robert Lilligren from the Native American Community Development Institute on next, and I always like to have fun talking with Robert, and we have a lot to talk about, as always, with nationally, locally, and spiritually, and all these things out there. So up next, Robert Lilligren.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Roll up your sleeves and enjoy some refreshments. On Friday, April 7th, the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center will offer free coffee and tea to anyone who gets a COVID vaccine between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. You'll also receive a $50 gift card. The event is open to the public, and while walk-ins are welcome, early registration is encouraged at interfaithaction.org. So protect yourself by getting vaccinated while enjoying some free coffee and tea. That's Friday, April 7th at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Well, what a coincidence. We have Robert Lilligren on today.
What a coincidence.
He's CEO of the Native, of what we like to say, NATCI. Oh, hey, Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Bonjour, Robert. And did I hear Wendy's voice as well? I don't see her here.
She's incognito. She's working the radio side of her camera this time. Right, Wen?
Yes, cool. I am. Hello, Robert. It's good. Great to see you.
Nice to hear your voice. Yeah, it has been too long.
Well, before we get too far into it, I want to talk about Wisconsin coming through. We had Judge Janice Protasiewicz on, and so we put them over the edge, I think, here in Minnesota and Wisconsin, because, as you know, Robert, we're all over Wisconsin. We're on 11 stations live right now, and it's exciting to see good things happen in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's great to see. And it was just such a decisive victory, right? It was like, what, 15 points or something like that. So right. it's a nice win. You know, I'm sure the path isn't smooth. People on the right are already claiming foul about the election. It seems to be their game book these days after every election that they don't like the outcomes of. But yeah, she seems like just a really great choice. Thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you, voters of Wisconsin. And now we'll see what happens, right? I know this could be critical in the 2024 elections, and of course, right, just in protecting the rights of our families and friends as well. So we'll see.
In Illinois too, it seems like I think their governor that came around in a good way too.
Yeah, the mayor, right? The mayor of Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a clear choice there, right? And so we're seeing these, you know, elections that can be indicating what we may be looking at next year.
Right.
And so there's these advances we're making. I wish nothing but the best for the new Wisconsin justice. And I know there were attempts to impeach her as at her previous position. So we'll see what follows her here. But I'm very hopeful. And yeah, and then the news out of Chicago, I mean, people are speaking with their votes, right?
Yeah.
Good things are happening. And so it's exciting to see. And then in places like Tennessee, I don't know if you've been following that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Where it's just a travesty of, you know, legislative authorities, where three Democrats they voted to expel them.
Right.
In the House, you know, and it's hard to think of something that's going more directly against the will of the voters than expelling their duly elected representatives for a relatively minor rules infraction.
Exactly. And then, you know, speaking of Tennessee, you know, with the shootings, the other Republicans wanting to wait to see what happens as opposed to maybe moving forward to some kind of gun law or any kind of law, you know, it's just you know, it's cold here. We had a long, long winter. We had the third largest snowfall, but I'm glad I'm here, you know, and I'm glad I'm here in Minnesota with our blue state. And I heard rumors too, Robert. I don't know if you heard this, but they might be closing down early because they're getting so much done at the House and Senate.
Oh, at the Capitol?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Yeah, we were talking. I serve on the Metropolitan Council here in the Twin Cities region. It's our regional government. So I'm a representative, appointed by our governor to that. So I was in a meeting with some county elected officials, some council members, senior staff, and the topic of having a trifecta and needing to go into a special session came out.
Yeah.
We were all kind of laughing about that. You know, could you imagine? If they had to go into special session, I think it's more likely that they'll do what you said, Robert, and finish up, not on time, not early, at least on time.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen a lot in our usually split government. And these guys went in, they were clear at the beginning, this Democratic majority in our Senate, in our House, and with our governor's office. And they said they were going for maximum efficiency in the term. And it's something we're just not used to in this state. So I am kind of loving it. I probably wouldn't love it as much if the Republicans were in charge, but I do think people respect when stuff gets done.
Right. You know, and the whole thing about giving the money back, the Republicans want to give the money back, and it's just like it goes to the wind, you know. We need to work this, put something, you know, substantial in and support things that matter instead of giving me money back that I will never miss anyways.
Right. You know, right. And it does give a little bump to the state economy, right? People spend that money, you know, and we really saw during COVID, right, and during lockdown, what an infusion of cash into people's hands could do to sustain the economy. So it does have a low impact, but having been part of government as long as I have, Robert, I always think the words budget surplus when applied to government are kind of, you know, a misnomer. There's always more need than there are the resources that we have. So for to me, it's hard to reconcile how we ever really have a surplus. So I'm with you. Let's invest it wisely. This is a generational opportunity to make transformational change with significant investments. Let's do that.
Right. And I think we are leaning to that with the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative that you're working on and many other people named after the great Clyde Belcourt, who befriended me the last 4 or 5 years of his life. And so I appreciate you guys naming it after him.
Well, yeah, and I want to be super clear. I play a very, very small part in that initiative. The Urban Indian Legacy Initiative is an effort of about 16 Native orgs here in the Twin Cities to bring capital dollars to improve our facilities. We all have these 30, 40, 50-year-old facilities now that need attention. Mm-hmm. And so it's been going pretty well. It's a significant ask, if I'm not mistaken. I think the last total was $136 million into these, I think there's 13 or 14 distinct projects. And that's something, right? And that's what we're pushing for. And I'm not in the thick of it. I'm not over at the Capitol. I mean, I've been over there a few times for it. But just the kind of stuff that's coming out, they keep asking us for more documentation on our projects and sort of fitting it into their pathway towards how things get funded. So I don't know what the final outcome is going to be, but I'll tell you, just kind of reading the tea leaves leading up to the final outcome, it's looking pretty good.
It is. And I was really excited, Robert. I think I ran into you that day that the governor spoke and talked about more money and more support, and that this should go directly to Native-run organizations because we know what we need and know how to do it.
Right. And that's been our argument all along, right? We Native orgs and know how to provide services to Native people, and we just lack the adequate resources to do it. So resources. And there's really been a movement. I mean, having been part of the nonprofit world now for what? Coming up on 10 years almost. There's this effort to, by large bureaucracies and institutions like state government or even corporate givers or foundations, to try to figure out how to get resources more directly into the frontline folks who are working directly with community. And it's not as easy as you think. It takes effort, it takes work, it takes relationship building, it takes trust, it takes understanding on all sides of what's actually going on. So this has been quite an evolution to observe.
Yes, it really has. And I think the key for anything, whether it's teaching or running for office or running a great organization like you are, is relationships, and meeting people where they're at. That's something I learned as a high school teacher. It came natural, but I was able to put a word on it or put a statement on what it meant.
Right. Yep. And that is the beauty of the sort of grassroots organizations that operate within the community, is they have those relationships. And so much in this world, but certainly in the work that NACTI does and that I do, it is all about relationships. I've written on the board in my office, you may have seen it, it says, "The quality of my work reflects the quality of my relationships." And I've had that written on every whiteboard of every office I've ever had. And I try to live by that. And then when you talk about Native folks, it's all about being in relationship, right? Relationship to each other, relationship to the water and land, Mother Earth. So I think it benefits us all to be deliberate about how we develop, build, manage our relationships.
Yeah, well said. And I think it's important to be aware of that, whatever you're doing, whether it's the mail person coming to deliver mail or the person that takes care of our little Wanda who got operated on this weekend, the relationships and what we reap we sow, and what we sow we reap, I guess.
Hear, hear. Yep. It's an important lesson that's sometimes hard to enforce, right? But you got to keep doing it. And someone taught me very early on in my political life, and they said, "Robert, there's never a last act." And what she meant was that you can never treat this as our last conversation. You know, you can never cut off somebody. You might need them in relationship the next day, right? Exactly. So you got to act like there's never a last act.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The Biden administration sent classified reports to Congress today on the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan and defended its approach to reporters. The National Security Council's John Kirby put much of the blame on the former Trump administration, which had announced the U.S. exit.
Transitions matter. That's the first lesson learned here. And the incoming administration wasn't afforded much of one. Thus, President Biden's choice was stark. Either withdraw all our forces or resume fighting with the Taliban.
The Republican-controlled House in Tennessee has voted to expel at least one Democrat who called for gun control. Justin Jones.
It is Tennessee showing to the world that democracy is no more.
The House declined to expel a second, but a third is still possible. More protests in France today over pension reform. 100 people injured. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News Brief.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. About 40% of Wisconsin voters cast ballots in Tuesday's election. Unofficially, a little more than 1.8 million people in Wisconsin voted. That's a record for a spring election not held at the same time as a presidential primary. Wisconsin Republicans do not sound keen on impeaching Democrats after winning a supermajority in the state Senate Tuesday.
They would need to do something very serious, so no, we are not looking to start the impeachment process as a regular occurring event in Wisconsin.
That's Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu speaking with Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Dan Knodel won a special election Tuesday, giving Republicans a two-thirds majority in the state Senate. In sports, the Bucks will be the top-seeded team in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs after last night's win over Chicago. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Meal, you'll find plenty to love at 30 Bales, located at 1106 Main Street in Hopkins. More at 30bales.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Thank you, Wendy. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And one of the things, and it's great here, Robert, you can be my witness here. Okay. We've talked a few times when Wendy hasn't been on the show, and I said, what Wendy always tells me is ask what they want to talk about. So what I'm going to do, and Wendy's here on the air with us, I'm going to ask you, what would you like to talk about?
Gosh, thanks, Robert, and thanks, Wendy, for the advocacy. And there's so much going on. And I was thinking of that as I was getting ready to come on the air tonight. I didn't, you know, I usually have a few topics kind of picked out, and you've hit on a couple of them. But I really didn't have anything that specific I wanted to talk about, but I thought for sure you'd want to talk about sort of the federal or the national level conversations and whether that has to do with our former president being arrested and charged, which I think is very interesting. And then there's also the Justice Clarence Thomas stuff that's going down. And
that
interesting when you have this political philosophy that's sort of built on, well, individual rights, but on, you know, and sort of doing the right thing and trying to take the moral high ground. And then you have these highest placed officials, you know, in our land that are just doing nasty, likely criminal things.
How do we, Robert, get a bigger Supreme Court? And I mean larger as in numbers. Doesn't it make sense to have 20 people or 21 people in there instead of just these, I don't even know how many are in there. 13?
Nine?
Yeah. See, I think you'd have to have an odd amount.
Right.
So you can't tie. And the size of the Supreme Court has grown and shrunk throughout the nation's history. It hasn't always been nine. It's been less. And so it's an act of Congress, right? We need to pass a law to expand the Supreme Court. And maybe that isn't the worst idea. Maybe, lifetime appointments. I don't know. That doesn't get talked about as much. But the idea of expanding the number, I think, is a debate worth having.
Yeah. And so what's going on with Thomas? I just saw something fly by my news. What's happening with him?
Yeah, well, allegedly, he has accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars. It may actually be in the millions of free travel, free accommodations from wealthy Republican donors or a wealthy Republican donor. And these are things that he would need to disclose and declare, as all judges do, all federal judges do. Almost anyone that holds a public position, I have to do it as I'm a council member. You have to do these sort of financial disclosures. And none of this was ever disclosed. And at least one of the trips I read about would likely have been about $500,000 trip that was given to him that he or his QAnon wife never declared. Yes, one of my blogs calls her QAnon Jenny, so I
this QAnon wife. But that kind of came from nowhere. That was cool how you slipped that in there. That's hilarious. But yeah, now we have Trump, who's looked very sad. I was watching it live when they had the cameras on. What floor was that?
Yeah, I think CNN was saying that he looked really sad and discouraged. But I'm sure, I don't watch Fox News, but I'm sure Fox was saying, oh, he looks so stern. He must be really thinking, you know. It's all a perception of which news station
is. Pensive. Pensive. It's like, yeah, that involves thought. Fox also said he looks so presidential.
Yeah. Well, he snapped out of it and started attacking the judge and head prosecutor. So 4 hours later,
And the judge's wife and the judge's children.
Yeah. Didn't he put his address out there or some crap
Yeah. That's just beyond anything, you know. And there's more to come, right? This was 34 counts. There's at least two other investigations going on that could very well generate criminal charges. And so it's just. And he's still the front runner Republican nominee for 2024.
Well, I was on Crudy's show, the show out of Madison today, and we were just talking
Devil's Advocate,
right, Wen? And I was talking about the mascots there, but what I did talk about was, like, he asked me about that, and I said, you know, 74 million people voted for him, and there's people out there that have been always there. They just never had a leader or a voice, and to act this way. So there's weird support. There's support from people that never voted before and have just really, the orange one has really fired up this sleeping giant in this country of racism.
Right. Yep. He has an audience, right? He has a base. He has people that are willingly following him. I believe that it is based in race, a lot of dissatisfaction of his followers. And it's so interesting. I mean, it's not that so polarized. We all know that, right? And and for me, I feel like, you know, diversity, racial, cultural, whatever, is really our strength, right? That's the juice of freedom, right? And you know, to have a whole half of our country that feels completely differently. And it's like, how did we all miss the point like this? Yeah. And then to have a whole party and philosophy that talks about drain the swamp. It's like, well, you are the swamp,
right?
So, you know, how are you going to drain yourself? Or it baffles me sometimes.
It's really baffling, and it's hard to comprehend. But again, we really have a lot to be grateful for, because Gen Z's not taking this standing down or sitting down. It's like, I just can't say that enough.
Right. And Gen Z, you know, has the potential of being the largest voting bloc in this country, you know, replacing seniors. And so that's a voice that will be heard. And you can see, you know, just by looking at what happened in Chicago, the Chicago mayor's race, or looking at what happened in the Wisconsin's Supreme Court race, that when there's a level playing field, you know, more progressive candidates perform very, very well. But we have a system that's been manipulated by a minority party to enshrine minority rule at the state and federal levels. And so that means we have to work that much harder to overcome and override those tyrannous minorities that feel that this country should be run by a minority party.
Well, Wisconsin's so gerrymandered. I heard somewhere, or read somewhere, that in order for a Democrat to win, they have to get 60% of the vote, and a Republican would have to get 40% of the vote. And I don't know how that works, but that's just an amazing statistic that I've heard.
Right. Well, and if you look, I mean, Wisconsin is very much like Minnesota politically, where it's kind of a 50-50 state, you know, and here we managed to hold on to all of the statewide constitutional offices, thank goodness. But in Wisconsin, and I can't remember if their congressional delegation is 8 or 7, but I think there's 6 Republicans and 2 Democrats.
Right.
The population is pretty much 50-50. So that just shows you. Those are gerrymandered districts, and then that kind of underpins what you were saying, where it would take a Democrat more to get elected, and so these kinds of things, like a state Supreme Court election, matter.
Yeah, and all the gerrymandering and also voter suppression, and the Gen Zs came out in force, and so did all the like-minded Democrats too. And I Trump's ahead of the Republicans, but where is he at against right now with Biden? Do you know? He's way down from Biden, isn't he?
Yeah, he is down. I haven't seen a number like this week or anything, but yeah. Yep.
And yeah, Trump was very disappointed also that all his followers didn't come out to protest his arraignment. And he was complaining that it was because it was in downtown Manhattan and it's very blue there, and that maybe they should have had it in Staten Island.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Nobody goes to Staten Island.
Easy, Wendy.
That's what Stephen Colbert said last week.
Yes, that's where I got it from. Thank you, Stephen.
That's so good. And yeah, and I think that a lot of potential protesters, and I've seen what happened and what rightfully is happening to the January 6th insurrectionists, and people are concerned, and they should be, about kind of showing up at these things. You know, if they're going to turn violent, I don't think that Trump or any of those guys had very much control over their followers, that things could go bad fast.
You know, just to remember, we Wendy and I, we went and watched with a group of people from AM 950 the debate between Trump and Biden, and all the secret talk during that last debate with him, you know, telling stand down now and all this. Oh, right. All this crazy stuff that people are really, really listening to, and all the weird cues that he's putting out there is just, it's kind of frightening, really.
It's really frightening. And, you know, people like me, I mean, that's always floating around there, you know, the kind of what the sort of dog whistle or the coded language is. And I think people like me, or I'll just speak for myself, I just didn't really think that it could be like that. You know, I didn't think a competitive candidate for president would be talking to people like that, you know, or even go back to those good people on both sides. Remember that?
Yeah.
That comment, you know, and it's just like, it's been a little bit of a wake-up call. And I have my own sort of, you know, conspiracy theory vibe, too. But now I know stuff like this happens at the highest levels. Listen for those coded comments. Try to figure out who he's talking to.
Exactly.
Notice that with a lot of folks on the right, they have their codes, you know, and I don't necessarily know them.
Right, exactly. Hey, Robert, thanks for stopping in. Always great discussion and catching up to the great work you're doing and what's happening here in Minnesota and the Twin Cities specifically. Thanks again for stopping in.
It's my pleasure. Nice seeing you, Wendy. See you on camera there now. And nice seeing you, Robert.
Pina Gigi, thank you. Hey,
take care, Robert.
Right on. Thanks. That was Robert Lilligren, Wendy, Native American Community Development Institute. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Oh,
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Roll up your sleeves and enjoy some refreshments. On Friday, April 7th, the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center will offer free coffee and tea to anyone who gets a COVID vaccine between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. You'll also receive a $50 gift card. The event is open to the public, and while walk-ins are welcome, early registration is encouraged at interfaithaction.org. So protect yourself by getting vaccinated while enjoying some free coffee and tea. That's Friday, April 7th at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I heard Zoe.
Yeah.
Hey, Zoe. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been on the show for over 7 years here at Native Roots Radio and talking about, you know, our sacred animals, which are our relatives. And I've learned so much over the years, Wendy, and I know we have a sacred animal right down here. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that.
Oh,
yes, Robert. Our dog, Wanda, who was a 12-year-old Shih Tzu.
A human.
She is a human. She's our human dog.
She has eyes that looks at, she's curious and concerned.
Yes. Well, yesterday she had a repair of her ACL, of her left rear leg. So she had surgery, and it's like really quite an intensive surgery. So she was there most of the day yesterday. We picked her up last night and brought her home, and she's on pain medication and also anti-anxiety medication just to keep her calm. She's a pretty high-strung dog and barks a lot about different things. And I think she worries a lot. She's a worrier.
She looks concerned a lot.
She does. So she's on medication. She's here with us. She's comfortable. She's in a little doggy bed with her blanket over her. So it's an 8-week recovery. We're going to have to go really slow with her. She's a dog who really, really wants to run and walk a lot and jump and hop and do all those kind of things. So we really have to rein her in.
I didn't realize how often this happens to dogs.
This is a very common injury for dogs. Since it happened to Wanda, I hear it from everybody now. It's like the yellow Volkswagen syndrome, where you hear about it, and now everybody's dog or somebody knows of somebody who's had a dog who has torn their ACL.
Oh.
So it's a tendon that attaches to their bone, and it ripped. And
it sounds like what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did your quad tendon.
Right.
You
and then the
severed
yellow,
it. Yeah.
The yellow Volkswagen syndrome is I started talking to all these people that had the same operation as me.
I
it's
know.
Like, what?
So if you have any prayers or nice thoughts for Wanda, put them out in the universe, and we're all hoping that she recovers fast and she'll get back to her 5 mile a day walks.
Yeah, with
because,
you.
And exactly, because she really enjoys them, and I do too. You know, so we'll hope that she'll do well.
She will.
I have a fun story here, though, I wanted to tell you guys about.
It's like
about
Fun Facts Friday,
well,
but it's only Thursday.
Is. Well, here's the thing. I got an update this morning, so it's brand new, hot off the press, from April 6, 2023 at 5:28 a.m. They updated it. And this is from, it's written by Chloe Rafferty and Catherine Hubbard. Let's see where. Oh, here it is. Raleigh, North Carolina, from WNCN. A pair of best friends have embarked on their new adventure. A truly bonded dog. Get it? They embarked.
Yeah.
They embarked on a new adventure.
Ooh.
A truly bonded dog and goat duo that became internet famous for their friendship has officially left the Wake County Animal Shelter Wednesday, this morning, for their new home. 1 week ago, the animal shelter announced that Felix, a male dog, and Cinnamon, a female goat, are going to live out their years together at a Johnson County farm.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. The two came to the shelter together on March 13th after their owner was hospitalized and unable to care for them. Officials said they previously lived at a home in Raleigh. The center said Felix and Cinnamon are best friends who sleep together and are together 24/7 except when they eat. Wednesday, today, Wake County government shared photos of the pair leaving the animal shelter and heading to their new home. And you could just Google dog and goat duo, and you'll see pictures of them. They're adorable. There's one picture of them facing each other with the kind of necks like wrapped around each other, kind of giving a hug. It's really cute. Yes.
I want a goat, but we don't have enough grass in the back.
I know. It warms our hearts to see these two besties leave the animal shelter for good and start their new adventure together with their new family, Wake County Government wrote in a Facebook post. So congratulations, Felix and Cinnamon. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yes,
that's really awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah, isn't it so cute?
See, Alice gave a shout out to her little kitties, giving a shout out.
Oh, thank you. Pepita. Thank you, Pepita, who is sending prayers up for little Wanda. I appreciate this. Here's another article that I found. I think I might have talked about this. It's about how animals can feel empathy.
Yes.
A simple experiment, researchers at the University of Chicago sought to find out whether a rat would release a fellow rat from an unpleasantly restrictive cage if it could. And the answer is
yes. I think I saw this on TikTok.
The free rat, occasionally hearing distress calls from its from this little friend there, learned to open the cage and did so with greater efficiency over time. It would release the other animal even if there wasn't any proof of payoff of a reunion. Astonishingly, it's if given access to a small hoard of chocolate chips, the free rat would usually save at least one for the captive, which is a lot to expect of a rat.
That's hilarious.
The researchers came to an unavoidable conclusion that what they were seeing was empathy.
Wow.
How much time do I have?
You got about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, okay. I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
So there's another story about an ewe.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's a female sheep. Or a ewe. No, it's a ewe. I think it's E-U-E, and it's pronounced ewe.
Dad.
So a ewe, a female sheep, gave birth to a stillborn baby that was unable to be resuscitated.
Oh.
After the stillborn was removed, the mother cried all night longing for her baby. But another lamb had twins the week before. And to the astonishment of the farmer, the mother who had the twins gave one of her babies to the grieving mother to raise as her own.
Mm.
I would say that would be empathy as well, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Wow.
There's this chimpanzee colony or monkeys. No, I don't think they're monkeys. They're more like a chimpanzee. They're called bonobos.
Bonobos.
Bonobos, and they look like chimpanzees. They're fascinating and still as little as known about them. We don't know a whole lot about them. But they have the only female-led great ape society with a sophisticated social structure that encourages cooperation and peace.
Huh.
Yeah, both within and between groups, bonobos tend to resolve conflict through affection rather than aggression. Unlike many other animals, bonobos are neither territorial or hostile to strangers. When two bonobo groups encounter each other, they will frequently share food and engage in intimate behaviors.
Oh,
you know why?
Why?
This is all such a great thing?
Why?
Because it's female-led.
Yeah.
They have the only female-led great ape society.
Wow.
They were once called pygmy chimpanzees, and I'm just assuming that they're smaller than a chimpanzee, but they're not like a monkey. They look more like a chimpanzee, and they're really cute. You could look them up. Bonobos, B-O-N-O-B-O-S.
I know our little ones have empathy towards each other. I know Wanda would always go up to Gracie if Gracie was scared, and that's why we got them, adopted them as bonded animals, and they have empathy for each other.
Yeah, when we brought Wanda home from the hospital last night, Gracie was so concerned and was like really looking and making sure that she was okay.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to Robert Lilligren, Wendy Pilot, and Zoe Allen. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
The This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.